So, Chris and Steve, I'll ask both of you, because Matt McChesney brought this up earlier today, that – oh, here we go. Earlier today, there's not a lot of blitzing or exotic blitzes in preseason games. But is there a chance that the Broncos coaches might say to Kyle Shanahan and his staff, hey, throw a couple things at young Paxton just so we can see how he does? Do you think that there's a possibility, even though y'all keep it pretty vanilla on your side, and the Niners probably would, that conversation was had? Hey, throw a couple things our way just so we can see how the kid does.
You might come in with probably like one or two blitzes, probably not too much. You don't want to show too much, but they're gonna blitz them probably. Try to switch it up, different looks on them. But for us, we've been so vanilla all week. I think we've only played like three coverages. So we just kept it real simple.
Yeah. I think they have whatever game plan they have. I don't think they'll really adjust it that much, to do something special to try to put more pressure on the quarterbacks to help us out necessarily. But, yeah, I saw in practice, though, they definitely were sending a couple people. So I anticipate seeing some of those. But I think they probably plan on doing that in the first place.
How are you liking these joint practices? Or how did you like them Wednesday and Thursday? Obviously, things got a little hectic yesterday, and Pierre Garçon, being Pierre Garçon, didn't like how things were going down.
It was actually better than I thought it would be, just because Kyle Shanahan is such a great coach, man. His offensive system is very unique. So it's good to get some practice versus his system, and I don't think we'll see any offense like him, the way he orchestrates it and all. And, he just makes it tough for us because he makes it to where we can't really put hands on people on the line. He makes it where we always have to play off a lot. So that's the difference in his offense than facing a lot of other teams.
Yeah, your defense, the defense that I've seen all week long and just watching it today, makes it very difficult on offenses. And, hopefully, our offense will be able to go out and perform against a defense that I don't think is as good as you guys are.
Oh, yeah, I think they will, man. I think it's a big game for Paxton, man. It's a big game for him. I didn't see the practices of what he did yesterday, but from what teammates said, they said he had a great day yesterday. And so this is huge for him to go out there and kind of make the competition even go even longer, man, put his staple down and say that he's the quarterback.
Yeah, and now people have been asking us, who's the best quarterback, this, that, and the other? Do the players have a best quarterback? And it is – my opinion that, you guys want the best person for the job regardless who it is. And would that be a fair first
thing? Oh, yeah. I mean, we don't care who it is as long as they're going to lead this team, make plays, man, score touchdowns, man. That's all we want, man. We want the offense that's going to put up numbers and give us some rest. And that's what we need. The pass, I would think everybody on the offense would say it was unacceptable in the last 2 years. And they want to do whatever they can to bring that spark back to the offense that we're going to put up numbers on you this year. Get some fear in the teams. I think when teams play us, they don't really fear our offense as much. So I think this year they're trying to bring that back, trying to bring that fear. And I think they can do that.
Chris Harris Jr., our guest, and again, brought to you by our friends at cred.org. When you look at some of the weapons that this offense has, I mean, Vance Joseph talked about wanted to add some juice. And I know you're focused on what you're doing, but you see Isaiah McKenzie, who are you calling him Little Crawfish also, or is it just Vaughn? Yeah. Everyone, is that going to stick?
Oh, yeah, that's his nickname.
Little Crawfish. So you're calling him Crawfish. And then you got D'Angelo Henderson.
Oh, yeah.
And just those two alone seem to add, we don't even know what we're going to get out of Jamal Charles. Obviously, we have our fingers crossed what it might be, but seeing what some of the pieces they added has to be pretty excited for you guys on the defensive side.
Oh, yeah, too, man. And I mean, Mike McCoy, he's right there with Kyle Shanahan, man, with their offenses, man. They know how to create mismatches. They know how to create just points, and they've done that their whole careers. And I like the direction that we're going with the offense. They're more physical, man. The O-line, we could tell this week just going against the Niners. I mean, we got to prove it in the game, but – them boys can run it all on us. And our offense, actually, they bust a couple runs on us sometimes, and they're capable of doing that. And so they're way more physical up front. And we got to go out there and prove it this tomorrow. But I think those guys are vastly improved up front, which that's going to help the whole team, really, the whole offense.
Yeah. Now, from a defensive player's point of view, I know back when we played, if our offense had a bad game, It'd be like, you know, we'd be in meetings for 3 hours, and they'd be in meetings for 20 minutes because they didn't have many plays. Yeah. And, you know, we'd be like, hey, man, this is not right. We should, you know, we should get out of meetings early. Yeah. And although I know coaches stress the fact that, hey, this is a team, sometimes it can be frustrating for defenses when offenses aren't producing. So I know you have to be happy with the progress that the offense has made thus far.
Oh yeah, definitely, man. It's been frustration in the past, but we try to never let it stop us from getting that common goal and continue to win. And I mean, even last year we could have let down and laid the egg versus the Raiders that last game of the season, but we had pride. We came together and got that last win. And I think that just shows how we, regardless of what's going on, we're able to stay together for that common goal. And this year, I'm excited, man. I'm ready to. I just can't wait till everybody gets healthy, man. And
oh man!
So we can get reloaded and make sure everybody's ready to go. Come the Chargers.
Yeah.
Chris Harris with us here for just another minute or two. Again, brought to us by Coloradans for Responsible Energy Development. Learn the facts at cred.org. You talk about getting healthy. And you see Derek Wolfe go down, but maybe you dodged a bullet there because it's just a sprained ankle. You see, I mean, you never know what happens when a guy gets carted off. You see Jared Crick get carted off. It's back spasms. Shane Ray dealing with his wrist. Todd Davis was out with a little bit with the shoulder. I think they're being extra cautious with TJ with his hamstring. Von Miller might be in bubble wrap all preseason during the games. But how excited are you knowing that September 11th isn't too far away, that Monday night game with the Chargers? How good this defense can be, because you talked about the improved run defense too.
Oh man, it's Pecco, man. He's been a difference maker for real. I was like, man, I wish we had Pecco last year.
Right.
It'd be totally different, man. And the way he's coming in and he's leading the front line while Wolf is gone, man, they were dominant this week, and it showed how they couldn't run the ball at all. So as long as we can continue to do that tomorrow and I'll be satisfied with that, man. That's one thing. That was a big issue for us last year, and that's something that we know we're going to make plays in the back end. It's going to happen, and we just wanted to make sure that those guys up front were stout, and Gostis came in and played great this week. Kerr and Shelby Harris, they played great filling in, and that's what you want to see. It's good to gain some depth right now, so it's kind of good. I mean, you don't ever want guys to get hurt, but – it's good to see what those young guys can do and what they can do, the backups can really do, because we're going to need everybody, really.
Yeah, so would you say that would be kind of the goal of this game is, you know, first, second team guys get out with no injuries and you guys be able to evaluate what the younger guys can do?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but for real, for me, my goal is this game, just come out and make plays, keep getting in game shape, just have great technique and make sure I'm continuing to progress for that season, for the season. And that's what you want to do. You don't want to take that step back in game two. You kind of just want to keep getting better and better. And that's my goal. And also stay healthy, like you said. There's still a lot of competition. There's still a lot of battles at the receiver position, running back position. I think I read something that Coach said, the O-line position is still battling for those spots. So it's a big game for a lot of people and, of course, the quarterback. So we want to see what those guys are going to do, but as a player for my personal goal, I want to just keep taking that next step and make sure I'm ready to go Monday night.
Yeah.
Well, you did a great job in Chicago of breaking off your coverage, and then you kind of look like Larry Brown as Mike Glenn just kind of threw it to you. It was almost like I told Steve, it looked like you're catching a punt. I mean, that wasn't the hardest. You've had some really good picks and pick sixes, but that one just –
Hey, he baited him.
Steve said he's been there. Steve remembers in the Super Bowl, he was quick to bring up, hey, in the Super Bowl, I had one go in and out of my hand. So it's never easy, even if it looks easy.
What he did good, though, was he baited the guy. Because the guy thought he was covering another guy running down the field, and he peeled off.
So we know we're going to see plenty of that. And even though Roby's talking about he wants to catch Tlaib wants to catch Rod Woodson. You're going to have something to say about that, too, as far as pick
I'm
sixes.
Coming, man. I feel like this year I got the juice this year, man.
There we go.
So, hey, I'm coming for everybody.
Got to start it early, too.
Yeah.
And we're happy to have you every week here with us on Orange and Blue 760. So we were talking about the two quarterbacks. I know your favorite subject.
Yeah.
But we had heard that Trevor is maybe a little more vocal in meetings some. Is it unfair to factor that into – if you're the coaches, into this competition? Because Trevor was a starter last year.
Obviously, Trevor was a starter last year, so and being the starter, yeah, he had to be vocal as being the quarterback. So, and all the experience that he had last year, obviously it's going to carry over to this year. But at the end of the day, the only decision to be made is how they play, you know, and who they think is going to be able to, you know, everybody's sitting back saying, who's going to be the quarterback? And you and everybody's saying, oh, they're thinking of the future. No, me, I'm 30 years old.
Right now.
I'm thinking of right now who can get these fans excited, who can take us to the Super Bowl, and who can win it. You know, and that's the guy that I'm going to go for. You know, I can't sit up here and be thinking about the Broncos organization in 5 to 10 years. I got 3-4 years left on me. So I'm trying to win a championship right now, but I understand Elway is also trying to plan for the future as well. So, you know, but regardless, man, we got two good quarterbacks. You know what I mean? These guys are getting better every single day. You know, they're learning the playbook. You know, they're learning how to attack the defense. So we'll see. You know, Paxton gets to start tomorrow, so we're going to see how he's going to do.
Yeah. We were just talking about this before you came in the room about how Trevor was able to get on guys a little bit last year. But I think that's because he had a year of the system under his belt, whereas now I feel like he, like you just said, learned a new system. That's probably not at the top of his mind right now. And once he gets the system down, I think he'll be able to, you know, help direct other guys. Yeah. But right now, he's trying to get the system down himself.
Of course. And that's what it is. I'm trying to learn the system. Everybody's trying to learn the system. Even our coaches are trying to learn the system. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a totally different system. But, you know, what is this, 2.5 weeks of training camp? Exactly. You know, it's gonna come. At some point, it's going to click for everybody. But I tell you what, yesterday was our best practice that we had. Going up against San Francisco, we were running the ball. You know, we were playing physical. We were giving effort. You know how it goes, Steve. Like, you might not know your plays, but if you give effort, you can still win ball games. And that's where we're at. And, you know, Mike McCoy, he's probably one of the best offensive coordinators I've been around. You know, he's very confident in his system. But not only that, you know, some offensive coordinators, they're confident in their system, but they have egos because you can't tell them anything about their system. Mm-hmm. Where we got Mike McCoy, he's all open ears. I mean, 4 days ago I told him about a 5-step slant. And, you know, he walks up to me yesterday and says, hey, I put it in a 5-step slant. I'm, like, looking at him like, he's like, any ideas that you have, bring them to me. We're going to try them out. I'm all open ears. This is not my system. This is our system.
Now, won't you run through a wall for a guy like that?
Oh, of course. Of course. And that's how you want your coaches because, you know, a coach can coach, but at the end of the day, he's not seeing it through the player's eyes, mm-hmm. you know. So to have a coach that can sit back and say, all right, I'm going to listen to him because he's the one out there playing. So, obviously, he's seeing something, feeling something, and he trusts my opinion. And, you know, I love working with Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you've obviously worked with some great coaches. You played for Mike Tomlin. You were with Gary Kubiak, won the Super Bowl, John Fox, too, as well. But how nice is it when your offensive coordinator, a guy who's been a head coach, who's worked a lot of different systems, is so open to taking suggestions from you and other players?
Of course. Of course. Exactly what I just said, you know. He's a player's coach, you know. And, you know, you see him walk around. His energy is always – I like to be around guys who are consistent with their personality. I like to be coached by people who are consistent with their personality and it never wavers no matter what they go through, whether it's ups or downs. And that's what kind of guy Mike is.
Well, you seem to be that kind of guy, too, that, you know, an even-keel guy. Well, I won't say even – it's even-keel, but it's at a high level. you know, one of the things that I love about you, I watched you in practice. I asked you how many balls do you catch. It's like every single time this guy's not on the field, he's catching passes, and it's not like he's just catching them – you know, calmly or blase. He's really intense when he's catching passes and making moves when he catches it. It's really amazing. Now, yeah. I ask you that. Now, how many balls do you think you catch in a day?
Well, you know, he sit back and said, "I don't catch him just to catch. I catch him every time as if I'm in the game."
Yeah.
You know, and I'm visualizing about. When I'm catching the ball, I'm visualizing somebody coming to try to tackle me and making my body and the muscle memory of those movements so that when I do get in the game, it's second nature. So, you know, I don't even count. I think one time Broncos huddle had came out and they recorded me undercover and I think it got up to like 150 or something a day.
Right, right.
So,
So all you youngsters out there,
yeah, yeah, all you youngsters. But if you see how my fingers are looking right now, man, they're all bent and all crazy. But you know, it's worth it, man, to be able to win ball games and win Super Bowls.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of a person that's, you know, in another business that's in his office till 1 o'clock in the morning, just putting in the work constantly, putting in the work.
And hoping that it all pays off. And, yeah. You know, ever since I've been putting in the work, you know, I have my couple injuries in Pittsburgh, but I've always been working, man, and it's been paying off. I don't have no worries, man. Yeah. My kids are living good. My grandma's living good. My entire family's living good. And I'm just going to continue to work, yeah. You know. Even when I get out of playing ball, man, I'm going to be consistent in working because through hard work comes success.
Well, I don't know how many people know this. Emmanuel Sanders, our guest, presented by our friends at PDC Energy. You really made a big investment in yourself at home in Houston. You know, you're working with that new contract, and with that comes some opportunity to do some different cool things. You basically turned your house into a home gym.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people realize, I mean, I know if they follow you on social media, they might see a little bit of it, but how much effort and energy and money you spent to make it a full-time. Yeah, I mean, it is a full-time job.
I probably spent about $30,000 to $40,000 just creating a gym and where I would love it, not just putting equipment in there that I'm not going to use. Right. You know, I put things in that I enjoy doing that how I want to shape and mold my body, because if you work on your abs, you're going to get abs. You work on your hamstrings, you're going to. So I put in stuff that was for me. I went and got a jug machine, a basketball court, you know. And people say, why a basketball court? That's conditioning right there, you know, to be able to do that. And, you know, you don't always have to work on football moves in order to get in shape. You could play basketball and get in shape, you know, and it's fun for me to do it. But it was just awesome to be able to invest in myself. And that's what you have to do. You have to invest in yourself. And then that's how you reap the benefits. So that's what I did.
Yeah, now, back when I was in college, long time ago, back when you probably weren't even born yet. But I took a class, a judo class. We talked about this before, to teach me how to fall. You know, when I hit the turf, you know, to kind of roll when I hit the turf. And I know you've taken some amazing hits and have come back from it. You haven't been injured very much in your career. And it amazes me because you're not a super big guy. Mm. But, you know, your heart always amazes me. How do you stay healthy? Is it just your workouts, or is it more?
It's obviously hard, but one thing that I do is when I'm getting ready to take a big hit, the worst thing that you can do is when your body is flopping in the air is to tense up. Mm-hmm. That's why when I get hit, it looks like those hits are hard, but mm-hmm. they're really not. It's because I'm really letting my body just move the way and maneuver the way it needs to move. Because once I tense up, then I'm going to fall all awkward. If I try to catch myself with my arm, I'm going to end up breaking my wrist or messing up some. So every time I get ready to take a hit, I just, boom, they hit me, and I really just let my body go and just try to hold on to the ball and fall normal. Wow. You know, where you're trying to catch yourself a fight for extra yards, that's how people get hurt.
Okay.
So it's kind of like I guess I've learned that just naturally of being a small guy and taking those hits. Or even when I dive for passes, you know, you rarely see me trying to put my hand down, because that's not normal. Your wrist can't sustain all that body weight falling down. That's how you end up getting hurt. Yeah. And a lot of guys don't understand that, because what coaches say, fight for the extra yard, fight for this, or do that, or try to stay up. But, you know, you got to live to play another play.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it sounds like you're basically just absorbing the hit. And exactly. So I think it's an interesting way to approach it, especially with as much of a conversation as there is about player safety and concussions and everything else. The idea that I don't think people spend enough time. They teach kids how to tackle correctly, but everything that goes into that.
You got to learn how to take them, too.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to take them. And a lot of coaches, you know, they say, hey, stay up. And I'm like, look. If I catch a ball and I see two guys getting ready to knock me out, I'm slide.
Right.
Say whatever you want to say. But that next play, I'm going to take you deep and I'm going to be scoring instead of being on that sideline aching and hurting, you know?
Yeah.
You got to learn how to play smart. And that's how you play a long time in this league.
All right, final thing we have for you, and I appreciate the time. What are you expecting to get tomorrow night? Do you even know if you're going to go, or are you going to err on the side of caution?
I don't know yet. We're going to continuously play it by ear. Obviously, it's preseason. You know, I suffered an AC sprain 2 days ago, and it's still a little sore. So, you know, my heart says I want to go out and play football because I love what I got, what I do. But at the same time, you know, I want to be smart about it. So we're talking about it. I went through walkthrough today, so we'll see.
By the way, did you notice how big the Niners corners were, both of y'all? I was like, that's, man, that's, 6'2", 6'3"? Like, the receivers are all your size.
Yeah, they have that Seattle scheme of all of them, even their defensive ends, defensive tackles. They're big, but at the same time, shoot, you know, you got your negatives about that too. So
no doubt.
Let's go off to our 9 News insider, Mike Kliss. He's always brought to you by Coloradans for Responsible Energy Development. Learn the facts at cred.org. All right, Michael, it's been an interesting week. By all accounts, we said Paxton needed a good week, and it seems like he's had it. What did you think of yesterday's workouts?
Yeah, he did really well yesterday. He did throw the ball well. He looked like he was free and easy. He started off with the second team. The day before his start, he had most of the first team reps. And he did really well early, and then he started making those wayward throws that he can do. Yesterday, I didn't see any wayward throws, but I saw some real strong, those deep outs and those deep ins. The Broncos run a ton of them in their offense, and he hit them every time. There were some nice catches. Khalif Raymond made a real nice catch on the sideline for him. So he looked really good, and he looked like he was he had a bit more of the playing in the backyard type look to him, where he wasn't overthinking and worrying about his steps. He was just letting it rip, and it paid off for him.
So as they go through the walkthrough today, tomorrow we're going to see the second preseason game finally. Do you feel like, especially with the warning we got earlier in the week, a good game out of Paxton Lynch, does that make him the starter and he wins the job Monday, or do you think it maybe buys him the first chance to start against Green Bay and we'll take it from there?
Well, whoever starts against Green Bay is going to start the opener. You know, you're starting, whether Vance and Elway announce it, I don't know. But he's the starting quarterback against the Chargers has to start against Green Bay. You know, that's the last time the good guys, so to speak, are out there. They have to have one game. They have to have one pure week together. And so, I'm not sure how it's going to go, whether Paxton has a good game against the 49ers. Is he the starter? I'm not sure about that. There is a bit of mystery in light of what's gone on this week with Paxton Lynch. As we've said, Simeon's pretty much been leading this race really for the last 2 years against Paxton Lynch. And that, Paxton had two good weeks at the end of OTAs and the mini camp. And then they broke, and he was pretty good at shortening the jersey going into pads of training camp. Then once the pads went on in camp, it was pretty much Trevor Siemian with the lead, sometimes by default, because Paxton looked like he just was not ready. He was not processing. He was not throwing accurately on a consistent basis. Sometimes he was good, but not consistently. Whether Paxton, I think Paxton has to kind of wow him Saturday against the 49ers. And that might be difficult because the 49ers, what they practice with and what they bring out Saturday, different coaches do different things. If the 49ers dial up blitzes on Paxton Lynch, it could be a tough day for him. I'm not sure how Joseph or Elway are going to read into it or evaluate Paxton Lynch. I've said all along, you know, it's not about Trevor. He's pretty much been Trevor, which is average to above average to occasionally good. Has not been great. He had, you know, Trevor, we haven't talked too much about his performances. It's a new offense for him too, and he hasn't quite stepped up, another level from last year like I thought he might. But I think that's because of the new offense. But it's still less about Trevor and all about Paxton. If Paxton is playing well, he probably becomes the starter. If it looks like he needs more time, then Simeon becomes the starter. And what Simeon does on Saturday, if he's typical Trevor, he does okay, then it becomes more about how Paxton plays.
Mike, Matt here. Thanks for the insight there.
Sure, Matt.
You've seen around. You've been around for a while covering the Broncos. You've seen several quarterback controversies and quarterback battles. Where does this rank on that list of quarterback battles? But also, full circle here, if Trevor does get benched, essentially, and Paxton gets the job, do you think Trevor Siemian is the kind of veteran that would be open to helping the young guy out? And do you think that's what he's doing now? Or is it strength competition and they don't even look at each other in the hallway?
I think it's awkward. I don't think they're best pals. I don't think they're going out to dinner, unless they're kind of forced together at dinner. I suppose there's an event here and there where they wind up at the same function. And they're, Trevor's by and large a good guy, and so's Paxton. So, and I think they have a respect for each other, but they are in competition. I one theory I've had is they could go with Paxton because it would, while it would bother Trevor, I really think it would bother Trevor more if Paxton were the starter than the other way around. But I think Simeon would maybe handle it better. The risk is Lynch could maybe lose some confidence and not be quite ready if things go south on Simeon. Where Simeon, I think, if he's on the bench to start the year and Paxton struggles the first couple games, Trevor strikes me as a guy who could come in, after the bye, after game four, and right the ship. He's just that unflappable type guy. I think Simeon, the book on Simeon is that he's some scouts say he's a real good backup, which I think he's better than that. I think he can be a top 16 quarterback in the league. I think he would be if they're 1-3 at the bye, Simeon could come in and win a couple games right off the bat. If they're 1-3 with Simeon, I think that might be a tougher order for Lynch. I do think the players believe they have a better chance in 2017 if Simeon is their quarterback, because Lynch still needs more time. I think long term, maybe for 2018 and 19, I can see where they think it's better that Paxton gets out there, sink or swim.
All right.
I understand both philosophies, and I don't think they've decided yet which way they want to go.
Mike, we love talking to you, bud. We got to cut you free and wrap up the show, but we'll look forward to getting your assessment on Monday of how the Saturday night proceedings go. Enjoy the Bay Area.
Thank you, Mike.
All right. Thanks, guys.
It's Mike Kliss. Always like talking to him. He, of course, is brought to us by Coloradans for Responsible Energy Development. Learn the facts at cred.org.